Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center, and if you are looking to better understand the readings that you hear at Mass, my newest book called The Word of the Lord, Reflections on the Sunday Mass Readings for Year A, is out now. To learn more, go to stpaulcenter.com.
Welcome to Letters from Home. I'm Joan Watson, and this is January 5th, a Christmas weekday, and the memorial of St. John Neumann, Bishop. It's also the day that we lay our dear Pope Benedict the 16th to rest. We celebrate his funeral this morning in St. Peter's Square, and he will be laid to rest in St. Peter's crypt, in the Basilica's crypt. And so today, just remember to pray for his soul, remember to pray for those who were so close to him who are now grieving the loss of him, and remember to ask him to pray for us. You know, these last years of his life were spent silently sustaining the church in prayer, and we can be confident that he continues to pray for the church and to pray for us. And so we ask him for his prayers, we pray for him, we pray for his friends who are grieving, and we pray for each other. You know, he was so dear to so many of us. I myself studied his theology under Scott Hahn. I took the biblical theology of Pope Benedict with Dr. Hahn while I was at Franciscan and devoured his works. And I really think I think and I write the way I do today thanks to the beautiful, beautiful theology of Benedict. He was the greatest mind of the 20th century. And I think someday he may be declared a doctor of the church. So we're so grateful for his work, his writing, but most of all for his spiritual leadership and his prayers that we know we continue to have today. In this first reading, we are still making our way through 1 John. And guess what? He's still talking about love. He seems to be repeating himself, doesn't he? But it's, again, because we need it repeated. In this letter, John uses the noun love 18 times, the verb to love 28 times, and says God is love twice. Love really is at the root of it all. God's love for us, our love for God, our love for our neighbor. The new part of this commandment that he speaks of is not that we're supposed to love, but how we are to love. He says it today. The way we came to know love was that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Wow. How do we know love? Because God first loved us. And now we must imitate that love. You know, love isn't just a feeling or an emotion. It's an act of the will. It's a choice. It's an action. John says, children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Remember what he said before. We can't love God if we don't love the people around us. And we talked about this before. The people around us are hard to love. So it's tempting to say, yeah, I love God, but I have problems with everybody else, right? We can do that. Maybe we don't say that, but we do it with our actions, right? We go to Mass, we pray, we say our prayers. We're like, yeah, I'm a good Christian, but we treat everyone around us terribly. Well, then we're not a good Christian. Being a good Christian isn't just how we pray, it's how we live. And so being Christian, Christianity, that relationship with God is lived out by loving those around us the way he loves us. And so again, that means loving those who don't deserve our love because that's the way he loves us. It means loving your enemy. It means loving the person who wronged you, the person who annoys you the most, the person who hurt you. It means loving them. Moving into the gospel, we have the story of the call of Nathanael. We see that Jesus' first disciples are evangelizing, aren't they? They're bringing their friends to the man whom they believe is the Messiah after really only a short time with him. So Philip goes to his friend Nathanael to tell him, and Nathanael now famously insults Nazareth, right? How can Jesus be the Messiah if he's from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, we have this doubt about his origins from Nazareth in many places throughout the Gospels. You know, the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. He's not Nazareth. But since Nathanael was from Cana, which is just northeast of Nazareth. I like to think that what we see here is a bit of local rivalry, right? Jesus went to the other high school. How could anything good come from there? Right? Now, what does Philip tell him to do? Philip says, come and see. You know, just a few verses earlier, we have Andrew and another disciple, probably John, and they want to follow Jesus. And so they ask him where he's staying. And what's Jesus's response to them? Come and see. And so I love that Philip is so quickly catching on. Come and see. Discipleship is about following and living. The thing that's going to convince most people is the Christian life well lived. As we heard from St. John last Thursday in his epistle, this is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as he walked. And so we see Jesus telling Andrew and John to come and see, to walk with him, to follow him, to be with him. And now Philip says the same thing. He's not going to stand there with Nathanael and try to convince him to trust this guy from Nazareth. No, come and see. Come follow him. Live with him. Be with him. Thankfully, Nathanael does go and see. And Jesus gives him this great compliment. Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him. Now, it's an interesting statement because we know the first Israel was Jacob, who definitely was a man of duplicity. He tricked his brother and he tricked his father. But Nathanael is not deceitful or cunning. Perhaps Jesus is teasing him a bit about not mincing words when it came to Nazareth. Now, Nathanael has great faith and he believes in the Messiah simply because he said he saw him under the fig tree. The fig tree is a symbol of the messianic age and the prophecies of Micah and Zechariah, but it still seems a bit of a leap, doesn't it? Perhaps Jesus is referencing something in Nathanael's past. I think it's easy to read this and assume we kind of picture Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree, Philip came to get him, they walked over to Jesus, but we don't know what Jesus might be referencing. Nathanael does. Perhaps it's a very private, intimate exchange between Jesus and Nathanael that causes Nathanael's great act of faith. Maybe he's referencing something that's very intimate to Nathanael. We don't know. But I was glad that that's how it was depicted in the TV series, The Chosen, that there was this moment under a fig tree that Jesus references and Nathanael realizes he's been seen, intimately known. As we wrap up, I want to return to that idea of duplicity. We must not be men and women of duplicity. If we claim to be Christians, if we say our prayers every day, well, we must live as Christ lived, walk as he walked. If we claim to love God, we must love our neighbor. If we don't, we're two-faced, and we want to live without guile. We want to live an authentic Christian life. And so if we love God, we must love our neighbor. As 1 John reminds us, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read scripture from the heart of the church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.